This is Digital Story Podcast number 875, December 27th, 2022. Today's theme is investing in what you need, not what you want. I'm Derek Story. What I need and what I want are not always the same thing. It's wonderful when the two line up, but when they don't, I have to make a decision. Today was one of those days. This week, I discussed my final equipment purchase of 2022 and how it was what I truly needed and how I was able to resist what I really wanted. I hope you enjoy the show. Back in August with Podcast 854, I discussed our collective backup systems and how many photographers in our community weren't totally satisfied with their systems. I was among the somewhat satisfied group and fading quickly. My two Drobos were still running fine, but their software dashboards were no longer being updated and not compatible with macOS Ventura. My twin drive RAID enclosure just died, flat out died. And even though I didn't lose any data, I didn't have any replacement moving forward. I found myself once again cobbling together a backup system based on random hard drives and iCloud. I knew I needed to fix this. So fast forward to the end of 2022 with no progress. I had a little money left over in the budget, and I wanted to make a year-end purchase for tax purposes. Here's where it got interesting. So B&H Photo was running some screaming sales at the end of the year. One in particular that caught my eye, and it was just by accident. I wasn't even looking for this, but there it was. The Fujifilm GF 35-70mm weather-resistant lens for $499. Now, this lens typically sells for $999. So that was a savings of $500 on this lens. This optic would give me the equivalent of a 28mm to 55mm zoom lens for my Fujifilm GFX100S. Now, I don't even have a zoom for that camera. I have two primes. And a zoom in that range would just be so much fun. Be so much fun to have. So I had this lens up on my screen for 2 days, and I'm sure you all have probably done this at one time or another. I didn't press the buy button, right? I just had it there on my screen with the add to cart button sort of, you know, taunting me. And I kept looking at it and I was going, man, I read the reviews. I mean, I do everything that we all do when we're contemplating a purchase like this. And the reviews were good. The lens is not too big. It's not too heavy, which is important when you're shooting medium format because you're already got a bigger body, right? And it would just fit right in there with my existing other two lenses and really give me a nice option and probably get me shooting even more with that camera. This was taunting me for 2 days, for 48 hours. I was just like going back and forth on this. So why did I hesitate? I mean, I had the money, right? I actually had $600 in the budget for the, you know, remaining for the end of the year. Why did I hesitate? Well, because what I really needed was a two drive RAID enclosure and a couple of 8 terabyte drives to go in there to shore up this mess that I have for my backup system, right? As I said, my Drobos are still running, but they're more archive units. Now, I can't use them for day-to-day stuff, nor should they at this point. You know, they're not, the interface isn't that fast. You know, they're older drives, and I don't have a dashboard for them anymore. I'm running Ventura on this computer up here. So they're great for what they're doing, which is storing my old stuff. And I can retrieve my old stuff from them. I actually point peek to them and I can find what I need. So they're doing great. my intermediate backup, you know, like for instance, I just finished our online printing workshop. It was the first time I did it, so I have a bunch of important files related to that workshop. Well, I don't want to have those just living on my computer here, so that's where the intermediate backup came in, and that was the two-drive RAID before, where I put them on there. I put everything on there, so I'd have them on my computer, and I had them on that RAID, and then I would, you know, later on back them up to another set of drives. One goes to the house, one stays here, all that kind of stuff. But that intermediate backup is super important because it just gives you a little bit of peace of mind immediately before you go on down your workflow. And I mean, I've got little drives here. I've got all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's really a mess. I feel like I've gone back to, you know, 2005 or something. I do. I just feel so like disheveled about all of this. What I really need to do is get that backup drive up and running. And it needs to be something that's going to be good and modern and gives me lots of versatility. So that's what I needed. And the lens is what I wanted. And I could not have both. So how did I work through this and make a final decision? Which I did. Well, here's what I did. Here are the three things that I use to get through these sort of decisions. First of all, is time, right? So waiting and debating for 48 hours instead of making an impulse purchase. If I can wait a little bit, it gives me time to work through things. And I think what the time part does especially is allow me to, you know, suppress the emotion a little bit and add a little bit more factual information, you know, to the equation. Because when I first see something like that lens, it's really an emotional response. I just want it. You know, I just start fantasizing about all the things I can do with it. I don't know. I'm running through a field of flowers with the 100S and that lens on there, just snapping away. You know, I mean, it's just nutty, right? So it's emotion in the beginning, but time, if I allow myself, gives me the ability to start working more facts into it and, you know, kind of press that emotion down a little bit. So time is the first thing. The second is a good old-fashioned pros and cons list. You know, and this is where I have to be very honest with myself about the true benefits of each product. And if you do an honest pros and cons list, that will help you sift through the emotion as well, right? You go, because you can't just say, I want it as a pro. Well, you can, but that doesn't really count. It has to be a little bit more factual than that. In other words, you know, which of those two items is more important to my photography business in 2023? Okay. And you kind of build the list in that direction. And then the third thing, this is really important, and I just kind of stumbled on this idea a few years ago, but acknowledging that I may be able to get what I want in the future, right? It's not going to just magically disappear off the face of the earth. And if this lens went on sale once, then odds are good it will happen again, right? And maybe next time that it happens, I'll be in a better position to purchase it. So I'm not saying no to the lens forever if I decide against it. I'm just saying no for right now. And, you know, this is like a technique that I used to teach smoking cessation. That was part of my volunteer work a while back. And one of the things that we worked on with that is that when people are trying to quit smoking, the one thing you don't want to do is saying, you know, I can never have another cigarette. You never say that to yourself, even though that is the goal, right? That's what you're trying to do. But that's not the game that you play with yourself. What you say is, I'm not going to have a cigarette right now. And then the next time an urge comes up, you just say, I'm not going to have one right now. And you just keep making that decision not to have one over and over again. So it's a lot of little steps that get you to, you know, your destination. But if you just say, I'm never going to smoke again, then, you know, all these emotions and weird human nature stuff start kicking in. And then you just go, well, I can't deal with that. And then you end up caving and having a cigarette. Okay. It's sort of like that with these things that I want in terms of camera gear. I'm not saying I'm never going to be able to get that lens for the Fujifilm. I'm just saying that right now, it's not the practical decision. It's not the wisest decision. So as you may have figured out already, I did not go with the lens. I did not. What did I go with? All right. So today what I ordered was the Synology Disc Station. It has a 2-bay NAS enclosure with a pair of WD 8TB Red Plus internal hard drives. So I've got the enclosure and I have 2 8-terabyte drives going in there. I'm going to set them up so that they mirror each other. And that way I'll have redundancy there on the drive itself. And then I'll have whatever redundancy is on my computer. And then what I do when they fill up is that I take one and I keep it here. It's labeled, you know, usually with January 2023 to, let's say, January 2024. And then the other one, which is a mirror, goes to the house. And so then I split them up and then I put 2 new 8-terabyte drives in there. And that's my intermediate backup. There's some archival stuff that also happens, but the problem we're trying to solve right now is the immediate backup. And this thing will do nice. When we had that discussion back in August, and we had it on the Inner Circle group. Yeah, that was the big discussion, was on the Inner Circle group on Derek's Story Online. The Synology Disc Station is the one that won out in terms of what most people decided to go with as they worked through the whole vetting process for what RAID drive, in this case, was going to be to replace their Drobos. And so, by the way, if you want to see it, I have a link to it in the show notes. And I also have a link to the WD 8TB drives that are going in there. And if you want to see the lens, I have a link to that in there too. You know, I still go over and look at it. But so that's what I chose. I decided to go with this. Now, what's interesting is, thanks to the discounts, because I did get some discounts on the internal drives, and then I use PayBoo with B&H. And then that way I don't have to pay the sales tax, which is really nice because the sales tax adds up. And so I got the entire setup for $550, total price, $550. So that was well within my $600 budget. And it was really only $50 more, $51 more than the lens that I ended up passing on. So I got what I needed. I got what I needed for about the same price as what I wanted. Now, if I follow this system, the system I talked about just a few minutes ago, where I weigh time, the pros and cons list, and acknowledging that I may be able to get what I want in the future. If I follow that, then I can't ever remember regretting the decision that I made. The only decisions, and I'm talking about gear purchases, the only decisions that I can remember regretting are the ones that I made on impulse, where I did not follow this format, right? I did not follow the system here. And I just said, I want this. And then bang, I hit the add to cart button and I buy it. And then I'm nervous and I go, no, but it was a good purchase. And then 3-4 months up the road, a few times, not every time, sometimes I'm still thrilled, but if it's going to go south on me, it's going to be when I make the purchase that way. I've never had one go south on me where I follow this system. The reason why I bring this up is I just think it's helpful. We are tempted as photographers by so many things, new cameras coming out, new lenses, new everything. New phones, right? New smartphones, which are cameras now for us. Most of us can't buy everything that we want. And you know what? To be honest with you, I'm kind of glad I can't buy everything that I want, because I'm afraid I would bury myself in gadgets. And you know what I've been working on for the last year and a half is to thin out, right? I've been working on thinning out the studio and thinning out the garage at home, all that stuff. So I've been working on going the other direction. So I'm kind of glad that I have this budget limitation, because to be honest with you, in this case, if I did not have the budget limitation, the $600 left in the budget, the gear budget, I probably would have got both. I probably would have got both. And, you know, this forced me to only get the one. So anyway, I thought you might find that interesting, because I know you too have to wrestle with these sort of things. And you may have some tricks also. If you have some good tricks to help you get to the right decision, I'm not saying tricks to avoid buying anything, because for me, that just isn't realistic, but tricks to help you get to the right thing, make the right purchase, you know, share them on our Facebook page, or, you know, bring them up on Derek's Story Online. I would love to hear them, because as I said earlier, this is something that we all have to deal with as photographers. I have some film news for you. A new film camera from Pentax. And you can read this entire article on JapanCameraHunter.com. I have a link in the show notes. This fascinated me, I have to tell you. Let me read you a little bit. I picked their version of the story. First of all, I think they're the ones that broke the news, Japan Camera Hunter. But I also love the way that they wrote this piece up and their enthusiasm for this concept. Big breaking news. Over on the Pentax Japan website, they've released a statement and a video, a pretty important one at that. Just have a wild guess at what it's about. Yes, that's right. Calm yourselves. A new film camera from Pentax, or at least the intention to start earnest work on researching one. Now, if that doesn't sound great, I don't know what will make you happy. So let's have a delve into it. As many of you know, Pentax and Ricoh are now the same company. And although the announcement was made by Ricoh CEO, it was made under the umbrella of Pentax, which inevitably leads to a few interesting thoughts. They could have gone with Ricoh, which would have been almost certainly meant a compact camera, but with the announcement under Pentax, that opens the possibility of a new SLR or even medium format camera. This is very exciting indeed. The official title for the announcement is Film Camera Project, which sounds like music to my ears. The camera project states there are two initiatives for this project. To begin, considering the development of a new film camera using the experience of veteran engineers to work with young designers and engineers, this could lead to some very interesting ideas with new and more modern materials and techniques. The second initiative is to work with film fans to find out what they want from a new camera, utilizing social media and events to aid in development. This is a very nice touch. It shows not only are they listening, but they're open to feedback. This is a breath of fresh air for a traditional Japanese company like Ricoh. Both Pentax and Ricoh bring a real wealth of heritage and experience to the table. If any company in Japan can make a new film camera, it will be these two. When I asked if a Japanese company ever makes another film camera, Pentax and Ricoh were the only ones that I really thought would have the onions to do it. And well, now they have announced that they are going to give a crack of the whip. So I watched the video, and it's in Japanese, but it was subtitled, so you could hear what's going on and see what's going on. And essentially, part of their thinking is that the engineers that made the mechanical Pentax cameras, they're still around. Some of them are still around, but they're aging quickly. They're getting old. They're getting old. And once those people are gone, a whole wealth of knowledge goes away. And, you know, what they were saying in the video is that it's one thing to have all the plans and the blueprints and all that kind of stuff, parts lists. They have all that. They have all that. But there's something that's necessary. There's another element that you need, and that's that, you know, the little tricks that aren't in the manuals or that aren't in the parts list to, you know, make these things as magical as they were. 35 film cameras, 35 millimeter film cameras are magical. You know, I work on them all the time, and I just tell you, they are mechanical marvels. They really are. So what they want to do is get this project going before, you know, they lose all this knowledge, these engineers. And so then they're going to combine this then with new engineers and try to get some feedback from folks. I don't know if this thing's going to get off the ground or not. I really don't. I love the idea as well. I love the idea of bringing new, very cool film cameras to the market that people can afford. And that's one of the things that they're shooting for. These would be affordable cameras. I love the idea of being able to use the older Pentax lenses on these new cameras. I love all these sort of ideas. So we'll just wait and see what happens. There's so much work ahead of them on this, but I think it's pretty cool. And I think it'd be interesting. You know, Pentax dabbled with mirrorless and it just didn't work out with them. They're sticking with DSLRs right now. But wouldn't it be interesting if their pivot wasn't to mirrorless, but was to bringing back film cameras? Fascinating stuff. I thought it was a really interesting story. Again, I have the link in the show notes and you can watch the video there as well. I want to touch on one of the workshops in our 2023 photography workshop lineup. And that one is in May. The one I want to talk about is the in-person workshop, and it's the Point Reyes workshop. And I just want to read you just a little bit about this, because this is an event I'm really excited about. Point Reyes and its surrounding areas, which would be Tomales Bay, you know, all those areas, provide a wealth of landscape and wildlife photography, and we're going to explore both. This four-day photography adventure takes you to the rugged Northern California coastline, and then rolling hills, seashore wildlife, tule elk, tranquil inlets, and much more. I was just out there doing a photo shoot not too long ago. Oh, it is so beautiful. This is the perfect getaway to relax, breathe fresh air, enjoy the company of your fellow photographers, eat good food, and fill your memory cards with a variety of beautiful images. So that's coming up in May. That's May 16 through 19, 2023, the Point Reyes in-person photography workshop. I want to put that on your radar because there are still a few seats left on that. We have reservations already, but we still have a few seats left on that. And just think about a beautiful springtime getaway to this national, right? This is a national preserve. Point Reyes is a national seashore, and then the surrounding areas. It's going to be a wonderful time. You can learn about this workshop and the other workshops in our 2023 season by visiting thenimblephotographer.com or click on workshops in the top nav bar on the digital story. And just as a side note, Inner Circle members receive a discount on all workshops, physical and online. Photographer behind Instagram's most liked photo doesn't like the crop. And you can read the entire article on petapixel.com. I have a link in the show notes. So this is dealing with the World Cup in Argentina, who won the World Cup. Those of you that follow soccer, that finale, right, France versus Argentina, was the best soccer match I've ever watched. Hands down, best soccer match I've ever watched. The whole World Cup tournament was thrilling, but it ended on an ultimately high point. Anyway, let me read you a little bit here. Getty Images shooter Sean Botterell took the photo that's officially recorded as the most liked Instagram post of all time with 71 million likes as of publication. Sean says that it's impossible to plan for a trophy lift with so much chaos going on. It's quite a weird feeling. It's a bit surreal. You go, holy heck, he's right there where you want him to be. That doesn't happen very often. The photographer says, even his hands coming up with the trophy, I think the way he's holding it and smiling, he's definitely got a moment with the fans. Sean says he prefers the original horizontal crop, not the square one that Messi shared on his Instagram. He believes that the wider view provides better context and better captures the adulation that the soccer legend was receiving. Sean doesn't have any social media accounts and initially was unaware that his photo had smashed the all-time record for likes on Instagram. Mark Zuckerberg reposted the photo, confirming that it had taken the record previously held by an egg. Quote, that's a funny thing for me because I'm not on Instagram. I wouldn't even know how to crop an Instagram picture, Sean says. So I looked at both of the shots, the one that Messi posted. And Messi is the star. He's the man of the moment for Argentina. He's been a living legend for many years. And the one thing he didn't have was a World Cup championship. His team achieved that goal just a few weeks ago. He had a fantastic, not only did he have a fantastic tournament, but he had a fantastic final. He was the man in every sense of the word. So when he held up that trophy that was the missing piece from his, you know, from his legacy, this photographer captured it. Then Messi puts it on Instagram. And what Messi did was interesting. And I totally get what happened here. What the photographer was doing was telling the story, and he told it really well. It was a nice horizontal image. Messi was in the middle holding up the trophy. And then you could see he was like raised up, like people had him, you know, on his shoulders or something, or on a platform. And then there were, you know, fans and people all around him. And you could just see this adulation, right? And it really told the story beautiful. What Messi did was he cropped tighter on him. It was a square crop, and it was tighter on him, you know, showing a better view of him with the trophy, which is an absolutely logical thing to do if you're the subject, right? You just, you know, you zoom in on you. It was a great pose. He looked great. You zoom in on you and the trophy, and for you, that's the story, right? So it was fascinating. And then this photographer, the other fascinating part to me was the photographer didn't even know it was on Instagram and that it had just broke the record. So it's hard to imagine for me, a photographer who doesn't even, you know how Instagram works. So this whole story was just sort of wild and crazy. But it's, I think the most fascinating part is looking at the way the photographer presented the image to tell his view of the story, and then the way the subject cropped it to tell his view of the story. It's fascinating stuff. I want to mention that photos for macOS Ventura and iPhone Essential Training on LinkedIn Learning is now out in the wild. This brings you up to speed on the latest technologies that Apple has included in the Photos ecosystem. And I say ecosystem on purpose because that's really what it is. It incorporates so many different things, all your Apple devices, the plugins that are available for it, iCloud, the whole deal. It's all sort of integrated into this ecosystem. And this training is divided up into movies that are 3 and 4 minutes long, and they just tackle a bit. So you just learn one thing, and then you go on and you learn another thing. And then you get all the pieces. You can skip around. You don't have to go in sequence if you want. Learn the story any way that you want. But it's a nice little training. And if you have LinkedIn Learning already and you're interested in photos, you might want to take a look at it. And if you haven't looked at photos for a while, you might want to revisit it because it is evolving nicely. And again, it's called Photos for macOS Ventura and iPhone Essential Training, and it's on LinkedIn Learning. I have a link to it in the show notes. Before I stick here with a little Virtual Camera Club news, I want to mention that the Nimble Photographer newsletter comes out every Thursday. It's free and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, we're getting great responses to it, great open rates, and it really complements the podcast nicely. I have a link to it in the show notes. If you're interested, you should sign up. It just appears in your inbox, and there's lots of goodies in there. Every Thursday, free newsletter, a ton of fun. A huge thanks to our Inner Circle members. They're the ones that support this community month in and month out. And they also support each other, you know, because we have a special online groups for them. They get to share photos. They get to ask questions. They get to answer questions. There's a real camaraderie that has developed in 2022 with our Inner Circle. We've gone to a new level because we do have this ability to share with one another. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, and I hope you do in 2023, click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can take a look there, and then you can sign up for yourself and join us and join in all the camaraderie and the fun. And finally, I'd like to give a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. They were so instrumental to us making the online printing workshop a success, and it was indeed a success. Just having their technical knowledge and their willingness to share anything about inkjet printing that we needed was so beneficial. You just can't go out and get this kind of knowledge easily. So I appreciate their support. I love their paper. I've learned a lot of things working with them over the years and just exploring their site. There's a wealth of information on their website, and you can click on the tile that's on every page of the Digital Story, Red River Paper, go directly to their website. It takes you to our landing page, and then you can nose around from there. But just explore the wealth of stuff that you can do with your inkjet printing. Get some paper, make some artwork. It's a blast. It truly is fun. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. A big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. Bryce is going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more great stuff for next week. Until then, stay safe. Make good decisions. Take some pictures. Be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.